Well, good morning to everyone. Let me get rid of this shirt for now. Hold on to it. Of course, yesterday was a big night. Toronto Maple Leafs made the playoffs. So I wore my proud jersey today. And as I was sitting there going, okay, as I go up, Karen had to step out of the room. So Karen couldn't hold on to my jersey. So I saw Gregory, but Gregory's holding Lil Zahara, so he wouldn't be able to fight off anyone who tried to take it. And so I figured, oh, Steve will be in good hands with Steve being here. So at least I know the jersey will be in all intact. It won't be burnt. It won't be thrown outside. It won't be used to, you know, clean up any spilt water on the floor. So I figured it'll be in good hands right here with Steve. So definitely it's good to be here this morning. It's good to be back. We're on a vacation. I had a good family time, relaxing time. Got some good old sunshine. So it was a good family time, good relaxing time. But definitely good to be back in our beautiful city of Ottawa. I got a couple of announcements I wanted to remind everyone of before we continue our time together. Of course, this Thursday night, we have an incredible night planned, as we have Douglas and Vicky Jacoby will be with us here on Thursday evening. This is going to be a fantastic time. Put it this way, we won't have many opportunities to have Douglas Jacoby to be in town. So what an incredible opportunity that we're able to arrange to be able to have him here. So definitely, you definitely want to be there. You don't want to miss it. Get an opportunity to meet him, listen to him. Be a great opportunity to be there with our friends, family. The evening begins at 7:30 p.m. And so I would encourage you, again, I know at times when there's a midweek service, maybe only one spouse comes and one spouse at home with the kids. I would encourage you, if you can, if all possible, you can arrange outside child care. If you're not able to, maybe you're able to arrange where the kids, if one couple is staying, if one parent's staying home from one family, maybe you drop your kids off with that family. So maybe one parent's watching a few kids as opposed to both parents, two parents being at home. Because we want to have as many people there as possible. And definitely, you do not want to miss it. Because Douglas Jacoby, he's going to do some deep teaching. Friends and family who come, they'll be inspired, they'll be challenged. But definitely, he will have a lot to say and definitely be a great time. As usual... parking outside is typically a challenge, and so on Thursday night, you definitely want to make arrangements if at all possible. If you're able to take the bus, take the bus. If you're not, carpool it. But one thing we do have, we have the facility starting at 6:30. So you can come early, find parking. Please mention to your guests there's limited parking, but you do want to make whatever arrangements possible, because we will start at 7:30 because Douglas will have a lot to say in about an hour and a half's time, so please make sure to be here early. Come early, bring your friends. It'll be a great time. And then next Sunday we have potluck, so again, everyone's invited to come back next Sunday for a potluck worship service. Yeah, let's continue our Bible study here at this time. If you please, if you're taking out your Bibles. You know, one thing that Chris shared in communion, you know, it's important for us to always be asking ourselves, you know, how much we're being transformed into the likeness of Christ. You know, that is what it's all about as a Christian. It is all about becoming more and more like Jesus. And that is why we've focused specifically on the characteristics of Jesus, is that we can gain a deeper conviction about the importance of being more and more like Jesus. So we've talked about being like Jesus, growing in Christ. We've looked at characteristics such as the patience of Jesus and how Jesus was patient and how we need to be patient. The humility of Jesus, the kindness of Jesus, the purity of Jesus, Jesus' trust in God, Jesus' prayer life, his strength, his courage, his enthusiasm, the narrowness of Jesus. And the list just goes on. All of Jesus, his intellect, his will, his drive, his motivation, his emotion, his personality, his personhood, his ambition, spirit, intent, life, purpose, mind, everything about him was totally devoted to God. Everything about him, every fiber of his being, was totally devoted to God. Which stemmed from his heart that was devoted to God. And that is what we're going to look at here this morning. Today's lesson is entitled, A Heart to Please the Father. A heart to please the Father. In honoring a quote from a 17th century writer, he says, we think there are thousands of things we should be concerned with, but there is actually only one. If we take care of the one thing, all the others will find themselves done. And if we fail to take care of the one thing that is needful, all the others, no matter how successful we may have seemed to them, will fall into ruin. So why then are we torn between matters of the heart and worldly concerns? So why are we torn between matters of the heart and worldly concerns? You know, we can become so concerned in life about the things that we need to do. And I'm sure there are things on each and every one of our hearts as to the things that we need to do today. We may have an organizer and we may have a list of things that, you know, Lord, once I leave church this morning, here are the list of things that I need to do. Here are the list of things I need to do this week. Even as a Christian, we might say, you know, here are the list of things that I need to do as a Christian. But what's important? Because we can believe as Christians that pleasing God is all about how much and how often we read our Bible. How long was our prayer this morning? How many visitors we invited or had come with us to church? Or how many meetings did I attend last week? But what we need to understand is while we should not take away from those things, what matters is the heart. Because it's very easy to do all the Christian things and not have the right kind of heart. We can do many Christian things with the wrong motive. We can have many good intentions as things that we believe we should do, but deep down in our hearts, the motive is not in the right place. You know, it's interesting, I was sharing with a brother this morning that on our flight back, we took our red-eye flight, and don't recommend a red-eye flight, but if you have to take one, go ahead and take one. So Carrie and I and Eric took a red-eye flight, and Eric was just cranky, he was tired. And so we were like, you know what, if we just get on the plane, and you know, it's 10 o'clock at night, maybe he'll just sleep through the whole entire flight. It's a 9-hour flight, he'll just sleep through, it'll be fantastic. All of a sudden, screaming. And I'm on the plane, I'm like, okay, Eric, be quiet. And screaming. And lo and behold, he just was screaming for He was screaming because he was tired, and I'm sitting there going, my goodness, if there was a place in the plane that I could run to, and I'm sitting there going, Eric, okay, quiet, quiet, quiet. And it wasn't about, as much as I'd like to say, it was about, you know what, I was concerned about Eric making sure he got his sleep. I was concerned about what people are thinking beside me. as I'm seeing the person in front of me putting their hands on their ear, I feel a nudge from behind me, kind of a tap, I don't know if it was a luck tap, saying, can you do something about your screaming child? Then we got off the plane and I was like, Karen, don't make eye contact with anyone. Let's just be the last ones to get off the plane. Let's not make any eye contact with anybody. That's what we did. But also, man, my motives were not about, okay, you know what, let me calm down Eric because it's what's best for Eric. Although it was good intentions in terms of wanting him to be quiet for everybody else, it was not about him. It was about me. Part about him, but mostly about me and how I would look on the plane. But again, we can have so many different reasons for the things that we do. But what matters is our heart. What matters is the motivation of our heart. And pleasing God stems from the heart. Because the heart is the center of the inner life of a man. The heart is where the battle of our soul is waged. And if we take care of the heart, everything else will follow. And so with that in mind, let's continue as we go to our Father in prayer. Father, we are so thankful that we have come to know you. That, Father, we have come to have a relationship with you. That, Father, we have made a decision to walk in the footsteps of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But, Father, as we strive to be like Jesus every single day, Father, we fall short. Father, we give in to sin. We mess up. But, Father, please give us the strength to do so and become more and more like Jesus every day of our lives. Father, please help us to not be so focused on the things around us. Because, Father, it's so easy to get entangled in the world and the worldly desires. But, Father, give us the strength to say no to the things you want us to say no to. And, Father, yes to the things that you desire of us. Father, please help us as we study your word. Father, I pray that you would work in each and one of our hearts. Father, you know what's going on in each and one of our hearts. You know what's going on in our minds. And Father, I pray that as we open your word, that Father, your word and your spirit would speak to each and every one of us so that, Father, we can have the kind of hearts that you desire for us to have. Father, thank you so much. Please bless our time together. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Turn your Bibles to John chapter 8. And before I forget, forgot to mention, Rosa wanted me to say hi to everybody. She wanted me to say hi and say she's thinking about everybody. But just so you know, she wanted me to say hi to everyone. John chapter 8, beginning reading in verse 30. A heart to please the Father. In John chapter 8, in verse 30. Actually, we'll begin reading in verse 29. The one who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I always do what pleases him. Even as he spoke, many put their faith in him. You know, listen to the very words of Jesus. That I always do what pleases him. Not sometimes, not often, that I always do what pleases the Father. You know, many have tried to please God. But what set Jesus apart from anyone else is that he always succeeded. That he never failed in his desire to please the Father. No other man could make such a claim and not be considered a liar. And no one provides us with a better example of how we can have a heart that pleases God. But if we are to have a heart that pleases God, what's important is that we have a heart with the right motivation. That's what we learn from Jesus. It's about having a heart with the right motivation. You know, all of us have an inner life and we have an outer life. The outer life is what everybody can see. So everyone sees you this morning at church. Everyone sees you as to how you're dressed. Everyone sees your interactions with other people. They see the smiles. They see all these things. That's the outer life as to what we portray to other people. But not everyone can see the thought behind our action. Because it is very easy, if we're honest with ourselves, it's very easy to look good on the outside, but have some other things going on the inside. The inner life is what's kept private to ourselves. It is between God and it's between us. We will share it, maybe with a select few, but it includes our attitudes. It includes whatever it is that's in the deep depths of our hearts, our thoughts, our intent, and again, our attitudes. So we all have an outer life, and we have an inner life. But it's also what's called intrinsic and extrinsic motivation. Intrinsic motivation, that is the inner way, and it is the way of attitude and desire and the proper motivation that comes from inside. It is where we will ask ourselves, you know, why am I doing the things that I'm doing? Where extrinsic motivation is the outer way, which the way of, in terms of performance. And that is the way that Jesus came down on the Pharisees, because they were so focused on the outward. And that's when we live up to a standard imposed to us on the outside. You know, there was a psychological study done, and they did the study on two groups. And a group of children, they were given a puzzle to play without any kind of motivation. Just for them to play the puzzle, put together the puzzle, just for the sake of fun and enjoyment. And then after an allotted time, they were given the option to stop. But you know what? They did not stop. They kept on playing with the puzzle, because it was about fun and enjoyment. Group two, another group was asked to play the puzzle, but they were offered money. And at the end of a certain period of time, they were told, you're no longer going to be paid for playing this puzzle. As soon as that motivation was taken away, they stopped playing with the puzzle, because they were no longer interested. You know, that helps understand that in terms of intrinsic and extrinsic motivation. Because inner motivation is about desire. It is about enjoyment. It is about doing things from the heart. Because we enjoy doing it, we're excited about it. Where the extrinsic motivation came from, being motivated by money. You know, what's important for each and one of us is that we have the right motivation as a Christian. That we have the right motivation for what we do as a Christian, because if we live by an extrinsic motivated heart, we won't last as a Christian. We won't last as a Christian, and if not that, we will live our life as a Christian feeling that we are burdened in our hearts. We won't want to do the things of God. We will find, whether it be sharing our faith a burden, getting together with Christians a burden, serving Christians a burden, everything will be like a burden. Because of, we're not being motivated by the heart. And you think of anything that you have been, anything that you have done, where it's been, you've been motivated by the heart. whether it be a hobby you enjoy, something that you're passionate about. You know, no one has to pay me money to sit down and watch a Leaf game. I might have to pay some of you to sit down and watch a Leaf game with me, or maybe have some pretty good snacks, or have some intrinsic motivation to be able to have you come and join me. But at least I know there'll be a couple who it's not necessary. I know it's not necessary for Steve. Steve's fine. I said, Steve, Leafs. Then Steve's over. And Steve might even bring the refreshments. And Gregory will be there. I know Rob, if Rob was here, Rob would be there. And whatever other little following I can gather from this group. But bottom line is, the thing that we are passionate about, we don't need someone to be prodding us, pushing us. It's when it's in our hearts, we're not motivated. We're not passionate about certain things. That's when we can rely so much on extrinsic motivation to motivate us. Where we can rely on, you know what, I need my friend, my fellow Christian to motivate me. You know, I need to be motivated on Sunday morning. I need to be motivated in my family group on Wednesday night. Before motivation is all about extrinsic motivation, we're going to find ourselves in trouble. Because it should stem from, like Jesus, where in our hearts we have a heart to please God. We have a heart to please God. Because again, we can have an extrinsic motivation. We're motivated to do the Christian things. But you know what's going to happen? Is once we're not around Christians, we're going to live a very different life. Because that extrinsic motivation is not just going to keep us intact as a Christian. We're going to all of a sudden be very different when we're all by ourselves, because whatever the different things that motivate us are not with us when we're all alone by ourselves. What's important is that we have the right kind of motivation. You know, what did Jesus teach about motivation in Matthew chapter 6? In Matthew chapter 6 and verse 1, Jesus says, be careful not to do your acts of righteousness before men, to be seen by men. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. So when you give to the needy, so do not announce it with the trumpets, as the hypocrites do in the synagogue and on the streets, to be honored by men. I tell you the truth, they have received the reward in full. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by men. I tell you the truth, they have received the reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father, who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. You know, we continue reading in verse 16. When you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces to show men they are fasting. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. You know, Jesus teaches about motivation, why we should do the things that we do. He says, when you do your acts of righteousness, do not do them, because to be seen by men. When you pray, do not pray so you to be seen by men. And also when you fast, do not fast to be seen by men, or let men know that you're fasting. You know, it's so easy when we're fasting at times to believe it's very difficult, and to people pick up on that we're fasting. Because, you know, fasting is one of those things, you go without food and go without other things. But so many times when you're fasting and you feel the hunger pains, I know people who have fasted and they'll be very quick to say, you know what? Oh, bro, I'm so starving. because I'm fasting today. Well, you need to read Matthew chapter 6. Or can I have a sandwich? Why do you sandwich? Because I'm fasting. So it says there in so many different things, whether it be fasting, prayer, Jesus saying, hey, you know what? It is not about doing things for the praise of man. That when we do something, we're not looking to gain the praise of man. That's not why we should do things. We should not be praying and fasting and giving to the needy for the praise of man. We should be doing it because of having a heart to please the Father. You know, it's amazing when I think about my life as a Christian, how so many times where I've done things simply for, you know, I shouldn't do it because I'll go to hell for doing it. And so therefore, I won't do it. But that reason itself will not sustain me. Other times I've done things, you know, to please fellow leaders, to please even members at times. Or I've done things where, you know what, I'm going to do it just because, you know what, I get to church, someone's going to ask me. Or I need to do it because, you know, I need to be an example. Or I need to do it because, you know what, it's the right thing to do. Or I can do it to simply for the praise of man and looking good. But none of those reasons will sustain me in the long run. What will sustain me is having a heart that pleases the Father. You know, when we look at the heart of Jesus, you know, in Mark chapter 1, in Mark chapter 1, in verse 43, and of course, actually, we'll begin reading verse 40 so you understand the whole context of it. A man with leprosy came and begged him on his knees, if you're willing, you can make me clean. Filled with compassion, Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. I am willing, he said, be clean. Immediately, the leprosy left him and he was cured. Jesus sent him away at once with a strong warning. See that you don't tell this to anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer sacrifice that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them. You know, here we see Jesus out of compassion. He heals this leper. And Jesus tells him, see that you don't tell this to anyone. You know, and when you read other passages, in other situations, Jesus said the very same thing. You know, Jesus could have used this as an opportunity to say, you know, hey, I just healed you. Why don't you go and do this or go and do that? But when the times where Jesus wanted things to be known, it was for the glory of God. But other times, Jesus was not about fame. Jesus was not about doing things for people. When Jesus healed this man, it wasn't so that the man can go and tell everybody about him. It was because of Jesus' heart. His heart of compassion to be able to go and help this man. We see here Jesus did not want any recognition. He didn't do things for self-satisfaction. He cared nothing for public relations. If anything, he worked extra hard to stay off the front page news. Because he had no concern for fame. His life wasn't self-seeking, but dedicated to caring for others and serving the Father. You know, my question to each and every one of us this morning, you know, why do we do the things that we do as a Christian? Why do we do the things that we do as a Christian? You know, as a Christian, what motivates you as a Christian? You know, for Jesus, in John chapter 5, in John chapter 5 and verse 30, it says, Jesus says, by myself, I can do nothing. I judge only as I hear, and my judgment is just. For I seek not to please myself, but him who sent me. You know, for Jesus, it says here, I seek not to please myself, but him who sent me. That was the very heart of Jesus. You know, one thing that can happen is we can have what's known as the please disease, where we can seek to please ourselves and others more than God. We can seek to please ourselves by pursuing money, possessions, power, popularity, pleasure in one way or another. Because we are so entrenched in society, we want other people's jobs, we want other people's homes, we want people's possessions. You name it, we want it and we seek after it. Or we can seek to please others by peer pressure, what others might think about us, where we give into the peer pressure as opposed to doing what pleases God. You know, Satan will whisper in our ear and say, what will people think about what we're doing? What if they dislike the changes you're going to make? What if the changes you make are going to rock the boat? What if they make fun of you for your faith? But what's important is that we direct our focus off of ourselves, away from others, and we direct it toward God. You know, what are some practical ways that we can strive to please God? Now, you could read these passages in more depth on your own, but in Hebrews chapter 11, one of the ways we can live to please God is to live by faith. Is to live by faith. So if you're a disciple, to live by faith. If you're someone who's not a disciple, someone who's seeking, to make a decision that you're going to live by faith and not by sight. Because in Hebrews chapter 11, and verse 5, it said, by faith Enoch was taken from this life, so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. But before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. It is impossible, absolutely impossible to please God without faith. So therefore, if we want to please God, it's important that we live our lives by faith. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 38. As we continue to talk about faith, it says, my righteous one will live by faith. And if he shrinks back, I will not be pleased with him. What's important is that if we want to please God, we need to live our lives by faith. To build our faith, to do whatever we can to protect our faith, and to continue to grow in our faith as disciples. As we're continuing the book of Hebrews, Hebrews 13 and verse 16. In Hebrews 13 and verse 16, it says, and do not forget to do good and to share with others. For with such sacrifices, God is pleased. Well, another way that we can please God is by doing good and sharing with others. Colossians chapter 3. Another practical way to please God. In Colossians chapter 3, in verse 20, it says, children, so if there's any children in here, it says, children, obey your parents in everything. For this pleases the Lord. Now some of the parents are like, well bro, maybe we can stick on this passage just for a little bit longer. Whatever other scriptures you may have had, maybe you stick with this one just for the rest of the sermon. Now, if you want to please God, it says obey your parents in everything. Things you don't agree with, things you don't understand, to obey your parents in everything, because that pleases God. Of course, there comes a time, of course, it's not saying, of course, when they're under your care, when you're under your parents' care. Doesn't mean that when you're 50 and your parents are 70 to be obeying your parents, amen? Or you shouldn't be living with your, well, that's another story itself. Unless you're taking care of your parents. You know what I mean? Okay, great. 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 22. 1 John chapter 3, verse 21. Dear friends, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence before God and receive from Him anything we ask, because we obey His commands and do what pleases Him. And this is His command, to believe in the name of Jesus Christ and to love one another as He commands us. You know, how do we please God? By obeying His commands. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 4, we're not going to turn there, but also talks about one of the ways we please God is by taking care of our physical family. The list goes on. But what's important to understand is that as Christians, we need to have the right motivation. We need to have the right motivation, have a heart that pleases the Father. But what's also important is that we have the right focus. Because we can focus on doing other things as opposed to doing the right things that please God. You know, when we look at Jesus, Jesus had a heart that pleased the Father. Whether it be in the inward, the actions that followed, but we see that Jesus had a heart that pleased the Father. You know, we too this morning need to have a heart to please the Father. Where we have a heart with the right motivation, where we don't do things for the praise of man, we don't do things for external motivation, to make a name for ourselves, for any external awards, we do it simply because to please the Father. But also we seek to please the Father doing the right things and focusing on the right things as opposed to the things that we can be so entangled by in the world. You know, in closing, our devotion to God must never stop. We must put into practice everywhere, in the things that we do not like, in the things that disturb us, in the things that go against our point of view, in our inclinations, in our plans. True devotion holds us ready to give God everything. Our well-being, our fortune, our time, our reputation. To be willing to give of ourselves in this way and to accept the consequences that follow is to be truly devoted to God. Amen.